Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Stephen Kellert is an ecologist, and unlike some ecologists, he considers understanding the human-animal bond critical if we hope to save the environment. In 1978, Kellert and his colleagues surveyed the public to find out how they felt about animals. What animals did they consider the top or the most important animals to them, and which ones were at the bottom of their list? Recently, he and his colleagues repeated that same survey. If you look at the results superficially, it appears that Americans are a lot more interested in nature and wildlife. And you might think this bodes well for the environment and for the ecosystem. But Kellert's been at this too long, and he's not that naive. He knows that how Americans feel about animals emotionally doesn't necessarily translate into sound wildlife and conservation policies. But let's look at some findings on the latest study. Relative to these surveys, also keep in mind that people are answering questions relative to animals from within the realm of their own experience as well as within their own personal, emotional, and symbolic framework. The top animals on the most recent survey are number one, the dog, no surprise, number two, butterfly, number three, eagle, number four, horse. Number five, robin. Number six, elephant. And number seven, the cat. Now let's look at the bottom six. The current bottom six are skunk, rattlesnake, wasp, rat, cockroach, and mosquito. Ask most people about these different species and they would say if they had their way, they would all disappear from the ecosystem immediately. Only they probably wouldn't use the word ecosystem because that's not something that anyone who had an awareness of how the ecosystem works would say. The other thing to keep in mind relative to those animals that show up at the bottom of the list is that unlike those that show up at the top of the list, the species unfortunate enough to find themselves at the bottom of the list aren't flash-in-the-pan phenomena. These tend to be species that breed the kind of emotional response that wants extinction. And the reason people want to get rid of them has nothing whatsoever to do with any positive or negative role these animals may play in the ecosystem, aka the planet and its overall stability, but what these animals do or might do to them under certain circumstances. And they really don't care whether killing that one species takes a lot of other species with it. The people who are out to annihilate all mosquitoes don't give a whit if it takes honeybees, butterflies, dragonflies, and other insects that may carry more positive emotional charge. When I saw the results of the study, and particularly the animals currently down at the bottom of the list, I wondered who would be next down there. What other species is going to run afoul of the human quest for domination? Journalists may say that the survey results indicate that there's a shift in our thinking of ourselves as dominators to those who take a more dominion-like, caregiving, stewardship view of animals. But I say the jury's out. Let's see what happens to people's feelings about deer as more people succumb to Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases carried by deer ticks. Let's see what happens as the battle heats up about free-roaming feral cats and the songbird population. We're a capricious species when it comes to other members of the animal kingdom. And when push comes to shove, we always put ourselves first.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.